Matthew 11 and 11, or Matthew Mark 11 and 11. Cut a mark on. And we're going to read this from the Amplified Bible to begin with. Then we're going to go back to the original language. By the way, if you get an Amplified Bible, they used to come in paperback and a lot of things. I've used them for many years. It explains the Greek and the Hebrew. And even when something isn't in the Greek and the Hebrew, it'll make a put it in brackets, and it'll tell you that that wasn't there or whatever. So you got a pretty good translation here. It's an amplified translation. Verse number 11 now. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple enclosure, actually, and after looking around, by the way, he couldn't go into the temple area. It wasn't a priest. Even though he was a high priest, he couldn't go in the temple area. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12 disciples because it was already late in the day. They didn't travel at nighttime. On the next day, when he had left Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and a leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And any time a fig tree's got leaves on it, it's supposed to have fruit on it. But he found nothing but the leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said, "No one will eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening to what he said. "No one will eat fruit from you again?" That's unusual, isn't it? "No one will eat fruit from you again." Now let's go back and look at this from the original language. Like I said, the original language in tense mode and voice is inspired. And this verse here is tied to the last sentence. Kai, eis elthein, eis Yerusalema, eis to eron, kai peri blepsomenos, panta, hopse, eide, osos, teis, horos. Now, again, that's in half brackets. In the oldest manuscripts, that wasn't there. And it tells you that even in translations. This is an explanation. And then it says, exaltain ace, Bethanyon, metaton, duodeca. Chi, conjunction. Page 208. Okay. He entered into, it comes from ace and erchemai. Third person singular, secondary, is indicative, active. He entered into Jerusalem, and he went inside Jerusalem. The word ace there, remember what that means, extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. That he went into Jerusalem, and he went around to the area, all around to Jerusalem. But he's going to go into the temple area. Ace, Jerusalem. Remember what Jerusalem means, Jerusalem? It means city of peace, but it's never been a city of peace. And then ace, toe, and here we have extension and limitation of the thought of verbal action. Then ace, toe, heron. Now that word right there, heron, is the first part of Jerusalem. Heron, shalom, city of peace. Unto the temple area. And, conjunction again, having looked around, Peri blepsomenos. Now that is nominative, singular, masculine, first aorist, participle, middle voice. For himself, he looked around for himself of all things. He looked around all things, and then actually, and he went out, or he went into. We skipped the other part of there, Bethany with the duodeca. Now, when it came to this part of the sentence here, hopse ade. Jose, Tays, Oros, this was added later to explain why that he left. He left because it was getting dark late in the day. Late already, that little adverb of time. Being of the hour And then actually where it is, it's actually Ponta all things, and he went out unto Bethany with 12. He went up to Bethany with the 12. The house of glory, the house of shining. Bethany with the 12. His 12 what? That's his inner circle there. That's the 12 apostles now. He's got a great big church, but he takes these, the leaders of the church, and the church is already in existence now. He takes the leaders of the church with him in Bethany. And then verse number 12. Let's look at this. Kai te eporonion exel thonton auton ho apo Bethanias epe nason. And the next morning, the next day, in the next day, having gone forth them from Bethany. He was hungry. Now Matthew 21:12-17, Luke 19:45-48, and even John 2:13-22. These are all cross references of this. Verse number 13. Kai Edon Sikain Apol Makrothan Ekusan Phalah El Thane A Ara T Urese N Alte Kai Elthon Epi Altane Udain Urain A May Phila Ho Gar Kairos Uk Tain Sukon. That's a long verse. And that little conjunction time doesn't send to the last one, page 208. Having seen, nominative singular masculine, second aorist, participle in active voice. Having seen. Now this durative linear, second aorist, it's got a little bit more durative linear than the punctiliar action of the first aorist, but it's punctiliar action though. And having seen a sukane. The word sukane, literally, Marilyn, you like figs, don't you? What do they taste like? Are they sweet?
They're sweet, and they've got little tiny seeds in them. Then you crunch down on them, and it tastes good.
Yeah, they're fig trees. Now the word.
There's the mission fig, and
yeah, they're different kind of fig trees. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the word sikane there means sweet. It means sweet. Saccharin kind of comes from this word right here. Sweets. And having seen a sweet tree from afar, apo, that little preposition there, from afar, microthin, and then having a, that is a present participle active, accusative singular masculine, having leaves on it now. Now, whether the fruit is ripe or not, when a fig tree has leaves on it, it should have figs. But it's not the time that they're fully ripe right now. And leaves, and he came A, pardon, A, Ara, T, Urusse. He says it has leaves on it, Phila, leaves. And he came, now the word A there, that's a first class conditional particle. The condition determined as fulfilled. Okay? Since, ara, t, since something he shall find in her. Something that he'll find in that tree. He will find in that tree. In her, literally. And having come upon her, the tree is a feminine gender. She's producing fruit. Udain, urain, and then nothing he found. Third person singular, second aorist indicative act. In other words, he was looking for a while for something, except a may except phila, leaves, for the season not it was of figs. In other words, it's not the ripe fig season, but there should have been figs on the tree of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
okay? That word ho there is nominative singular masculine definite article. And then kairos means season or time. And that's nominative singular masculine. The adverb of negation there, uk, 294. Not, it kept on being of figs. The figs would not be sweet, but the figs would be there. And sometimes in between seasons, a fig tree will have more than one crop, won't they, Marilyn?
Yeah.
They'll have two or three crops in the year. So from the last crop, there should have been some figs, and there should have been some green figs still on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Not, it kept on being a figs. But some should have been left over. Now let's go on. One little bit further now. The next verse. Kai apokrithes, epen, aute, mekete, eston, ionon, ek, su, medes, karpon, phagoi, kai, akusa, kukusan that is, hoi, mathete, autos. And having answered, he said to her, Jesus speaking to the fig tree. Mekete. Or may there, that's a particle of negation. May. So we have not any longer. Not any longer. Ete is longer. Not longer. Unto the age. Aeston Iona. Unto the age. Accusative singular. Out of you, nor moreover, not one thing, not one piece of fruit to eat. And they kept on hearing the disciples of him. They kept on listening to this. What world is he talking about? Let's go back. This parable, this little short parable, this little short event is a prophecy of Israel. That fig tree is Israel. That fig tree is the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests. That's who the fig tree is. And the fig tree, Israel, had not borne fruit. Israel, many of them accepted John the Baptist, but the leadership of Israel did not. John the Baptist was going to be the herald of the Messiah. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Pharisees and the scribes came to John the Baptist and he said, "Who has caused you to flee from the wrath to come? You sons of Satan." They were born of Satan. Now, Jesus gave several parables concerning Israel. Think about it for a while. Jesus gave several parables about Israel. One of them said, "You strain out the gnat and swallow the camel." Now, it was not permitted for a person to eat a bug, because a bug is a, well, it's an infectious little thing, an insect. And so Israel, God told them to clean the water and whatever, and they would strain the water before it. They would strain the water, strain gnats out of the water. They would strain gnats out of wine. Wine, when you go out and pick grapevines, there's a lot of bugs on it in America. There's a lot of bugs on the grapevine. You have to really wash the grapes really well before you can get all the bugs off of them. All kinds of bugs on it. Spiders, all kinds of stuff. Ichneumon, whatever. You know. And so they would take and they would crush the wine. What they do is they take and basically either run a wine press over them or get out there and stomp with their feet. And in this wine they would strain the wine out and put it in wine bottles where it would ferment. Because wine starts, grape juice, get them off the Saison Plus, starts, the fruit of the vine starts fermenting right away, real soon. And so they strain all the bugs out of it. Now, another animal that's not supposed to be eaten, that's forbidden, is a camel. So now Jesus said, you take and you strain out the gnat, but you gulp down with one gulp a camel. Now, that's not possible. That's what you call a hyperbole, okay? It's a hyperbole. But Jesus said, you strain out these smallest little insects, and then you swallow down an unclean animal, hoof, hide, hair, and all. Now, I've never seen anybody could swallow a camel, really. Not even a little camel. You got to cut it up, clean it, and everything else. But Jesus used a hyperbole there. He said, you swallow down a camel. You strain out the smallest little thing that would be verboten, that would be forbidden, and then you swallow down an unclean animal, a camel, in one bite and one gulp. One bite and one gulp. That was a parable against Israel too. Then there was another parable against Israel. And Jesus said there was a king, a master, a lord, that had a farmland. And he had all these farms out there, and he said, well, I've sent my servants to them to gather up the rent. And they beat them up and killed them. They beat up my servants and killed them. And then he said, I will send my only son who I love, and surely they will honor him. And then they see the son coming from afar off. And they said, there's the son. There's the son. There's the heir. Let's kill him and take everything that we have. Let's kill him. And they did. That was a parable that Jesus gave to them. But the parable was against Israel. Israel killed the prophets. They killed the Son of God. And he said, you won't bear fruit. Now, how long will Israel not bear fruit? Israel didn't bear any fruit all at the end of the year when Jesus came. They weren't bearing fruit. They were godless. They didn't worship the God of heaven. They worshiped the God of their imagination. The God of heaven came down and visited them. Genesis 3:15. They wouldn't listen to him. They murdered him. And they knew he was the heir. They knew he was the heir. And after they killed him, after they demanded that Pontius Pilate crucify him on the cross, they went to him later on and they said, You put up there that Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He said, take that down, as they said he was King of the Jews. He said, what I have written, and he wrote it in Greek, he wrote it in Latin, and he wrote it in Hebrew with his own hand. He did. And then they came to him after he was crucified, and they said, and they were mumbling on like this. They said, you know that he told his disciples that after 3 days that he's going to raise up from the grave. We want you to send some Roman soldiers down there to that tomb, and we want you to guard that tomb and make sure that his disciples don't steal him away. You know what Pontius Pilate said to them? You got your temple guard. Do the best you can. Send the temple guard. I'm not going to send my soldiers down there. But he did send his soldiers from afar off so they could watch what was going on. And we know what happened. The temple guards, which are the Herodian guards, went down there. And early on Sunday morning, early on the first day of the week, Jesus rose. Now, I'll tell you this also. Jesus did not roll that stone away and walk out of that tomb. The tomb was still sealed when Jesus was raised from the dead and he walked out of the tomb through the walls. He walked through the walls. Now, when Mary and Martha came there, they were all torn up, and they said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus. And he said, he's risen. He's not here. Who's taking him? Who's taking him? Who's taking him? Show us where they took him. And he rolled back the stone. The angel rolled back the stone. And they said, look, he's not there. The stone was there. The seal was there. With the high priest sealed in the ring, they took clay and put all around that stone. And they sealed it with a high priest ring. And they had a Herodian guard there. But that couldn't stop God the Son from rising from the dead. He rose from the dead. Jesus is now going to condemn Israel right and left. He's going to give them a right and a left and a right and a left all the time. He said, and when Jesus did his miracles, why did Jesus do the miracles? To prove he was Son of God. To prove he was the Messiah. And what did they say to Jesus? You do miracles by Beelzebub. You went down in Egypt and you got all those dark arts and you brought it up here and you're doing this, all these miracles by the power of Satan. And Jesus said, whatever you say against the Son of Man may be forgiven. But when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. Now let's look what Jesus said. You won't bear any more fruit. Israel would not bear any more fruit thereon. All the way through the church, Israel is set aside. God set her aside. Israel is no longer the administrator of God's kingdom. And when the Lord came, he called out his church at the seashores of Galilee. Right over here. At the seashores of Galilee, he called that church out. He placed apostles in it. He had a treasurer in it. He had a clerk in it. In that church. That church was a church. That church was baptizing people. What happened on the day of Pentecost is the church was empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God that had performed those miracles in Jesus' life would now be the comforter in the church. And the church, until they received the Word of God, would have the power to do these miracles, these apostles would. And they did. They did those miracles until the Bible was completed. Because when the Bible was completed, there wasn't any more reason. The reason why that they did miracles is to confirm the Word. Confirm the Word. Israel is set aside, not in that age or in the age to come. Not in the law age or in the church age. And then we come to the tribulation of kind of a mini age, a tribulation period. And the reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. To bring Israel back to God. He said, you will not see me again till you say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord, which was in the last message. And after 2/3 of them have been destroyed here, they've been killed, the Antichrist is risen. There is a temple in the land of Israel. Again, they're going to build a temple. It says that they'll build a temple. And that the false Messiah will stand in the temple and say that he is God. He'll say that he is God. And when they said, when you see the abomination desolation taking place, flee to the mountains, which many people believe is Petra, the fortress of Petra. Flee to the mountains and God will protect them down there for 3.5 years. And then at the end of this tribulation period, where 1/3 of the Jews will be saved, he will come back and rescue them, and he will set up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Millennium means 1,000 years. It's kilia ete in Greek, 1,000 years. The word millennium is in the Bible. It is kilia ete. And also in the Latin translation, millennium. And that kingdom will be set up for 1,000 years, epites geis, el ha'aretz, upon the earth. Not in heaven now. It's upon the earth. The kingdom upon the earth. Probably the resurrected David will sit on the throne in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. Epites geis, upon the land, in the world. And for 1,000 years, Israel will be the administrator of God's kingdom, but they will never be the bride. Because the bride is with the Lord. He raptures up the bride at this time and all the saved. And he has a marriage feast in heaven for 7 years while hell is taking place on earth. All hell breaks loose on the earth. Jesus is setting aside this. In the next few verses we come to, we're going to find to him masterfully offending the Jews again because of the disregard for him and Messiah, King of Israel. Our Father, as we send this message out, we ask you to bless it. Please use it wherever it goes for your honor and glory. Please help people understand your kingdom, your church, and where we are in the world today and in your season and your time. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.